Welcome to the Food Founders interview from FrogHop. Today, I'm very excited to welcome a founder who's built their business in Aotearoa, or what I'll admit I would usually call New Zealand. With a mission to help plant-based become mainstream, Alice Shopland founded Angel Food in 2006 and has been pioneering plant-based cheese and dairy-free alternatives for the best part of 20 years. I'm looking forward to learning how she started and pivoted from importing vegan cheese to creating everything from alternatives to cheddar, mozzarella, feta, parmesan, cream cheese, and even sour cream. Welcome, Alice.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So I guess the first question is, can you tell us a little bit about Angel Food and why you started the business?
Well, exactly 20 years ago, I became a vegan. I got very active in attending protests about animal agriculture and animal product consumption. And I still am very passionate about veganism, but I was a bit, naive about how quickly other people could change to living a vegan lifestyle. And the reason I was and am so passionate about it is because of the, it's a choice that most of us can make. Most of us have the luxury to control our food choices to a certain extent. It just has such a big impact on the environment, human health, although the products we make are not health focused, and for the animals, which is my main reason. I was attending lots of protests and doing lots of activism. And I thought, rather than doing this in weekends and evenings, I want to make my job a form of vegan activism. And there was, so this was 20 years ago, there was no edible vegan cheese available in New Zealand, Aotearoa. And so I thought, okay, I will start importing cheese, vegan cheese, from the UK, and then everybody will go vegan. And it didn't actually work out like that, but it did, you know, me importing decent vegan cheese from the UK did help people either who was dairy-free for allergy reasons or who were vegan or, you know, somewhat vegan for ethical reasons to stick with that lifestyle, because cheese is a very important part of a lot of people's diets. And if you just cut it out, that is really hard going. And I know a lot of vegans laugh at people who say, oh, I couldn't live without cheese. And, you know, obviously that's not actually true, but I have a lot of sympathy for that experience because it is delicious. It's involved in so many of our favorite dishes, especially comfort foods.
Yeah.
And man, you don't want to take people's comfort foods away from them. That's just not going to go well.
Those tend to be the moments of weakness, I guess, when it comes to sticking to that diet or that lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. I started Angel Food and it's been a very twisty, turny journey, but I'm pretty happy with where we are now.
Excellent. And what were you doing before? Did you have a food background?
Only in terms of, you know, only at home, cooking and eating. So I've always been interested in, if I had people coming over for dinner and they had special dietary requirements, rather than thinking that was a drag, I would be quite excited about that because it was, you know, a creative challenge. And I like looking after people. So I was working as a freelance writer. So no, I didn't have a food business background.
And you started importing. How quickly did you move to making your own products?
So the business was launched in 2006. We launched our own mozzarella in 2014. So that was 8 years.
Yeah.
We did do some ambient products before that. But the mozzarella was kind of the big turning point for the business.
Ah, yeah. So you kind of built up a customer base for the imports, and then the natural step was to make your own. I don't know a huge amount about cheese making generally, but it's probably, there's quite a learning curve to go through to make your own products, or?
Oh, well, yes, we required food technologists. So my husband, Colin, and I, we're both, we have a bit of a DIY approach to things, and he is a scientist. So we thought between us, we could figure it out. How hard could it be? Well, very hard, it turned out. So we tried for a couple of years and then engaged a contract food technologist who eventually managed to come up with our original recipe. But yeah, it's a very technical thing because it's easier now because there's such a big market for these kind of products. So ingredients, suppliers are developing, you know, special starches designed for cheese analogs. But there was none of that, however many years ago, when we were trying to crack the code. Our products are similar to Violife or Cheese in the UK market. So it's based on starch and oil, which is, you know, when I said we're not focused on health products, we're focused on stuff that people can put on their healthy meals and keep it plant-based,
yeah,
but still have that kind of indulgent experience. And the kind of technical challenge with these kind of cheese analogs is that it needs to be liquid when it's hot, so it flows through the manufacturing process, and then it needs to set firm enough to slice and grate, and then it needs to melt in the customer's oven, whether it's, you know, a benchtop toaster oven or a 300 degree pizza oven at Pizza Hut. So yeah, that's pretty challenging.
How was the process of scaling that up? Because I know you're supplying supermarkets and food service now, so there's quite a lot of demand for it.
Well, we always knew there would be big demand because we had the experience of importing the products from the UK, and because of, you know, New Zealand is a very long way to bring small amounts of chilled product, so we knew that we should be able to get the price down once we were manufacturing locally, and that would increase, you know, we knew there was that demand if we could make it at the right price. And we also, there's a kind of a gourmet pizza chain in New Zealand that when we'd been talking to them, they wanted dairy-free cheese, but the imported ones weren't affordable for them. So we knew that was they were going to be a customer straight away. So we didn't, with our kind of products, it wasn't an option to start in our home kitchen and then gradually grow it. We had to start in a factory. So we contract manufacture, and we have done right from the start. And we were just, because it was a very new product to the New Zealand market, we were lucky that we found a manufacturer that was willing to take a punt on us. And, you know, we didn't know what we were doing, and they didn't really know if there was going to be a market for these products. So there was a lot of trust involved there, and very small batches at the start. But yeah, we're turning out pretty significant volumes now.
Excellent. And at what point did you, well, it actually sounds like quite early on, did you target food service?
Well, straight away, because we had this gourmet pizza chain that we'd already been talking to them. We knew they wanted product. Yeah, so the retail and the food service have been developed in tandem all the way along.
Excellent. And who are you making products for now? I mean, I assume you began focused very much around the sort of vegan community. What's it like now in terms of your customer base?
The big change is the advent of the flexitarian. Yeah, so that wasn't a word 10 years ago. It's still vegans and people with allergies and intolerances to dairy. But yeah, flexitarians, although I would have to say they are still largely an untapped market. Flexitarians are more likely to be eating plant-based burgers and putting dairy cheese on that burger, because we have not managed to, and you know, people will drink oat milk and have a cheese sandwich with it, a dairy cheese sandwich with it. So there's still a huge marketing job in front of cheese analogues to get across what a big impact it makes, because it takes 10 litres of cow's milk to make 1 kilo of cheese. And, you know, the volume of water and other environmental inputs and outputs from those 10 litres of cow's milk are massive compared to the plant-based alternative. But I think there's quite a strong emotional entanglement with dairy cheese that you probably don't get with cow's milk. So that's a big hurdle. Because dairy cheese is concentrated cow's milk, the casomorphines are concentrated as well. So although you don't actually get addicted to cheese, it is very chemically satisfying to consume it, as well as being fatty, which, you know, is satisfying for us as well.
Yes. And I guess that the flexitarian is driven by environmental concerns. Is that your experience?
Yes, largely. Although there's also a strong health component in that. And because humans are selfish, I think that probably more flexitarians are health incentivized rather than environment incentivized. Mm.
And then overall, I mean, you set out with a mission to help make veganism mainstream. How do you feel it's going in your part of the world? And what have been the main challenges? Have you helped to educate the market? Has that been part of your part of the brand and the way the businesses work?
I think so. I mean, we in New Zealand, we have put vegan cheese on the shelf. And obviously there has to be a market. People have to be wanting it and buying it. But simply by being there, we have helped to raise the profile of veganism. So, we've played a part in that. And although veganism is still niche and the market for vegan cheese in Australia and New Zealand, it's only plant-based cheese only makes up 2% of the total cheese category, which is tiny, but there's progress.
Is that where the business is expanding, I suppose, first to Australia and then?
Yes. Yeah. So there are only 5 million people in New Zealand, and with a niche product, especially one that we're having contract manufactured, it's very difficult to make it pay its way, basically. Australia is geographically and culturally close to New Zealand, although not identical. And it's got a population of 20 million. So it's a natural next step for us.
And where are you selling? Are you selling direct and supermarkets? And I don't sell direct.
No, we don't. We have dabbled in that in the past, but because New Zealand's a similar size to the British Isles, but with only 5 million people. So it's difficult to get delivery efficiencies, especially with chilled products.
Yeah.
Absolute nightmare and very expensive. So no, we most of our sales through the two big supermarket chains in New Zealand. We supply some independents. Of course, when we started out, it was all through organic stores and gluten-free stores, which, you know, are there any gluten-free stores now? I don't, you know, that's the supermarkets have taken that business, basically. Yeah.
In terms of food service, how have you scaled up there and where are you selling? I mean, I think you mentioned Pizza Hut.
Yes, we supply Pizza Hut, and they're our biggest food service customer, but we supply all of the major food service distributors rather than selling to the independent food service outlets ourselves. And we also supply a few manufacturers who make vegan pies and that sort of thing.
And is your product branded in food service, or is it it's just an ingredient?
No, we have not managed to crack that. I would love to see little angel food flags on the pizzas, but we haven't got that yet.
And which marketing channels have you used to sort of build the brand and build awareness and work with the supermarkets?
Social media, we focus on Facebook and Instagram. We have a EDM, our recipe club, which is actually in recess at the moment because I don't have time to do it. Been a bit stretched recently. The other big aspect has been trade shows and consumer shows, because a lot of our potential customers are, you know, they're nervous about buying a pack of our cheese because they're worried about whether how good it's going to be. So it's important for us to get in front of them, give them a piece of grilled cheese on toast or pizza or whatever, so they can go, oh yeah, that's actually good. Or, you know, as some of them say, that's actually edible. when they say that, you realise what you're up against, really, the kind of negative.
Yes, getting over that kind of perception, isn't it? I suppose that's the challenge.
Especially when household finances are tight, which, you know, I know things are difficult in the UK at the moment. They definitely are in New Zealand as well. And people go, I'll just stick with what I know because I don't want to risk wasting that $10 on something I don't want to eat.
How big's the team at Angel Food, and how is it structured? What you mentioned, contract manufacturing. How do you what do you have in house, and what have you used partners for?
We have a very lean team. We no longer have an in house product development person because, it's great to be able to do your NPD in-house, but it's very expensive, especially for the scale we're at the moment. So we've got an outsourced arrangement for that. And of course, we outsource the manufacturing and the logistics. So our products go from the manufacturer to our contract warehousing or direct to customer if it's a custom order. So basically we're managing. We also use sales agencies for dealing with the supermarkets, because that requires a huge team, lots of boots on the ground.
Absolutely. Yeah. Excellent. The brand seems pretty resolved and pretty distinctive. Is that a recent thing, or did you kind of focus in on the branding early on?
I think because my strength is in marketing, we've always been quite particular about the brand. It did get a big sort of boot up the bum early on when we talked with she was a retail consultant that somebody introduced us to, and we proudly showed her our range of products. And she said, they look like you've made them in your garden shed. And we were quite offended at the time. And then the next day we took a look and thought, yeah, she's right. So since that difficult conversation, we've worked hard at just making everything consistent. And it's not as easy as it seems. So it has taken a long time to get there. And we're about to do a bit of another tidy up, because over the years you add products and, you know, some of the elements don't quite work with that new SKU. So
I suppose the brand will work in Australia as well, won't it? So, or does work in Australia as well?
We're not in there yet.
Can I ask how you funded the business so far? Have you had external investment, or has it been bootstrapped, or
a mixture? When people ask me that, I always say we've done three rounds of equity crowdfunding. But for years before that, it was bootstrapping. So I carried it for the first few years of the business. I was supporting it by not taking a wage and by carrying on doing the freelance writing and proofreading work that I'd been doing until I just got absolutely exhausted.
Yes. I mean, quite a good career for that thing, in terms of being able to keep it on. And
Yeah, it was. But also there are only so many hours in the day, and I still had kids at home at the time. So it was, it was pretty difficult. So, yeah, it's been a mixture of bootstrapping and selling shares.
Cool. Yeah. So are there platforms in New Zealand for that, or is there?
Yes. Yeah. So similar to, I think, Cedars in the UK, but they're all individual shareholders. So we have 350 shareholders, which is quite a lot of people.
Yes. And are they a helpful community to the business, or is it much arm's length?
Most of them just want us to get on with it. Yeah. But yes, we've definitely had some good contacts through that shareholder group. Yeah.
What are the kind of the big scary goals for the next few years then?
Australia. Yeah. That's, it doesn't even feel that scary now because we've been talking about it for so long and we now have a very clear pathway for that. But it's very important to the business because it's going to make such a difference to our scale and our volumes and our impact.
Are there more products to come?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, because of the New Zealand economy, supermarkets are not looking at new products. So we have to just focus on our existing range. But we've got a very long list of things we want to do when the time is right.
Excellent. Is there anything that you wish you could go back and tell yourself 5, 10, 15 years ago that would have made things much, much easier or prevented, sleepless nights?
Oh, I don't know, because I wouldn't have listened. I'm one of those people who learns by doing. So there are certainly some lessons I could have learned more quickly. I guess trust your gut instinct would be the main thing.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you've got a hard stop, so
yes,
I need to let you go and do that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, if you want to know more about Angel Food and the business, you can follow them on Instagram or check them out at www.angelfood.co.nz. You can listen to previous interviews in the Food Founders interview series at froghop.co.uk/podcast. And you can sign up for the next interview, which is froghop.co.uk/kitchen. I look forward to seeing how you enter the Australian market and spread across
across the globe.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Bye.